Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now on to Episode 200.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
Now, this episode is brought to you by Attentive. Now, how do most innovative companies reach consumers? Well, meet Attentive, the text message solution trusted by innovative retailers and e-commerce brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI and an 18.5% of their online revenue is driven by SMS. So it's very compelling. You can grow your SMS list fast and engage with high-value mobile subscribers with personalized messages that exceed your performance marketing goals. Now, getting started is super easy. Attentive's best-in-class SMS marketing experts will help you quickly launch and scale your SMS program. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top three revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started with your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, this is your first time listening. This is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, if you're an ambitious, lifelong learner, which you probably are since you're here today, you're definitely in the right place. And new episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast players like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and many more. You can also stream current episodes, including a very relevant back catalog directly from E-Commerce Fastlane. And with today being episode 200, it's a big milestone. And just honestly, go back to E-Commerce Fastlane. There's an incredible amount of partners in the Shopify ecosystem that I've had the good fortune and blessing to be able to interview and learn about these problems that they're solving for Shopify brands. You know, the old thing that I always talk about is the fact that Shopify's core platform does 80% of commerce really well. I think it's that other 20% that gets filled in, some of the gaps, I would call it, how to improve customer experience. And in this case, data, you're going to learn a lot about today. But it's very interesting, and they're solving a lot of amazing problems. So go check it out, ecommercefastlane.com. Now, today's episode, super excited. It's an encore recording, I might add. My guest is Ari Messer, and he is the co-founder of a company called Little Data, and it's at littledata.io. And what they are is they're an analytics connector, and they help Shopify stores get more accurate data in the tools they're already using. I take a lot of calls from brands that say, hey, why is it in Google Analytics versus maybe what Facebook is showing or what Shopify is showing, why is there like a disparity between attribution? And it's such an interesting challenge right now. And then the problem that brands have, and they say, well, where's the source of truth? And I said, well, I think you want GA to be your source of truth, honestly, but is that accurate and why is it different? And there's a lot of reasons why. And so we're going to dig into that today for sure. So hi, Ari, welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
It is great to be here.
So let's talk on the high level about Little Data. There's going to be people that maybe don't know your solution. What's interesting, though, I went to the homepage this morning before recording, and ironically enough, three of the brands, the brand logos you have on the homepage, I actually manage those brands.
So, oh, well, I don't think we knew that.
Yeah, it's so interesting. So I'm definitely a fan. I've definitely have recommended Little Data for years. Obviously, my last time I think I recorded was, I think your co-founder, gosh, it was like early 2019, episode 33, I believe.
And I know we still get referrals from that episode too. So I think even as your audience grows, people go way back into the archives, which is awesome.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So let's unpack Little Data a bit for those that don't know and the sort of problems you're solving.
Yeah, great. So as you said, the core thing to understand about us is, yes, we are an e-commerce analytics app. We started in the Shopify world and we're still focusing on optimizing for anyone on Shopify. Mm-hmm. But unlike dashboards and, you know, there's tons of great like reporting tools and visualization tools out there, and also like attribution tools, But what we do is a bit different. And we've always focused since the beginning on connecting data from all of your sources that already exist. So that's like your marketing channels, your checkout apps like Recharge or Bold if you're selling by subscription, and sending that to the reporting tools that you already use. So we started with Google Analytics. That's something that, you know, everyone has installed. And as you said, it's great if that can become a source of truth, and you can always build reporting on top of it. So that's like number one, is that we work with what you're already using. You don't need new tools. You don't need to buy new fancy reporting platforms. And, you know, the core of the matter is that the app is designed to help you get accurate data. And so depending on your setup and maybe the number of SKUs, the way your checkout flow looks, whether you're headless or not, that could mean something different for each client. But that's the core functionality, is all about capturing all of your sales and marketing data in one place.
Yeah, I love it. So let's talk about the journey of Little Data, because it's always fascinating to me why people build what they build. You know, I think it's a lot more than just, hey, I want to have a SaaS company and I'm looking for recurring revenue. I mean, yeah, that's part of it. It's a business. I get it. But the flip side, I really think that that's not necessarily like the core mission behind the brand and kind of why we even thought about this problem and why you're trying to solve it. So I know the story, but maybe for those that don't know, it'd be great if you could let us know about this desire and the expertise around wanting to create this tool.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, several years in, well, like 5 years ago now, we were working as analytics consultants in the UK, actually. I mean, you can tell from my accent that that's not my native place or where I live now. But yeah, we were working with some really big brands, actually not just on Shopify. So brands like Made.com, who I believe is still on Magento, actually. And then a number of brands that have since migrated to Shopify, and some of the sort of bigger brands that were early to Shopify. And we just found that doing that consulting work and the analytics setup work for them, a lot of them had really similar problems. And as we started to work with even bigger brands, we were surprised that like they had the same data discrepancy problems. It was almost like an open secret. Like, they know there's a problem. They don't want to deal with it. They don't know how to solve it. So we'll just, you know, maybe next year. And we could help them solve it, but it took a lot of manual work. And a lot of what we were doing was, it's a technical term, but basically setting up server-side tracking. So making sure that you're not just relying on what's captured in the browser or waiting for a page to load to know that a sale happened. And essentially everything evolved out of that. You know, we said Shopify is growing fast and we really love how clean it is. But as with any e-commerce setup, there are natural data discrepancies. And why should people hire a developer? Why not just automate all of those connections?
Right. And that's the thing I love about Little Data, is that literally, like, you know, you download the app, you connect it, and you go through the onboarding process of applying your channels. First part is ingesting your first party data, which I definitely want to get into. But it's interesting about how it ingests all that, connecting your Google Analytics account and any other kind of external accounts and stuff like that. And then the magic starts, which is pretty amazing kind of what it can do. And then I just feel at that point, you made a good point about the fact that, hey, if you know and want GA to be your source of truth for all things in your business, and you want to make sure that things are attributed correctly, and then you want to have another BI tool, like a business intelligence tool or a visualization tool or reporting tool available, at least you're pulling data from an accurate single source. And I think that's the key to the, all of this. And that's why I recommend Little Data so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. And it's a good point that, you know, you can build reporting on top of it. We have people using like Tableau on top of GA or just Data Studio. Again, another awesome free tool. And increasingly now, because we can also send data from Little Data, so from Shopify via Little Data to Segment, people are then building really complex reporting on top of that data from Segment. So that's in tools like Mixpanel and Amplitude, or just sending it to a data warehouse and then doing all kinds of stuff with it, real-time product recs and stuff like that.
This is wild. So talking about this data pipeline, it makes me think a bit about, there was an article, if I recall correctly, I think on the Shopify Partners blog, I think Ed, one of your co-founder, published something on there, and he was talking about building this, I don't want to use the word if it's not true, but this kind of robust data pipeline, I think he mentioned. And my thought is, because there's a diverse range of people listening today, I'm just wondering how important it is for all merchants, or do you believe having a data pipeline is really more just for larger brands?
Yeah, good question. Good question. I mean, you know, for the more technical listeners to the, yeah, a robust data pipeline, it's totally a good way to describe it. And what Ed ran through in that article is a lot about basically like the hard lessons we've gone through as we've started to scale up and work with larger brands. And of course, there are major surges, not only during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, but like they're just holiday surges depending on the type of thing that people are selling. You know, if it's an appropriate gift for like Valentine's Day or Halloween or certain things, like when it gets colder, some of our merchants, like that's what the right time of year for those kinds of products. As we scaled up, we found that like in order to get a really high throughput, again, a technical term, but it basically just means to make sure that everything that's being captured is being sent to wherever you want it to get to. It requires not just a really solid back end, but you also need to have a good crisis response. And so as we've grown as a company, we've worked on that. And the goal was to get to, I think, again, I hope I'm getting the term right too, but I think Ed calls it a 4.9s data pipeline, which means like 99.99% uptime.
Oh, I see. Very cool. So, you know, this app obviously has evolved a lot. I mean, like I said, the last time that I originally interviewed Ed was on episode 33, I think, but it was back in February, like 2019. So this was quite a while ago. And I think we have to put on our calendars that annually we have to get on a podcast, because I know that your application has iterated so much in the last 2 years. And, you know, 2 years in tech is like, I don't know what in real life, but it's a lot and there's a lot going on. And so I just would love to maybe understand a little bit about like what's happened from that time on episode 33 to here we are in episode 200 now. We've got a couple years under our belt since the last time we've chatted. I'm just curious to understand how much the application has evolved.
Wow, yeah, good question. I mean, so much has happened. I think part of it is for us, it's just been gradually moving up market as Shopify has continued to move up market too. And so that's, you know, means that we're now working with the bigger D2C brands like Rothy's. Another move for us has been working with brands that aren't selling by subscriptions. So, I mean, I guess Rothy's is a good example. You know, just really amazing, high quality shoes, and that's all they do. And it's, I know they have a lot of repeat buyers, but they're not actually selling by subscription. And on the more technical side, we've evolved from data connector. I mean, we still are a data connector, but we sort of built on top of that to be what we call a full-fledged e-commerce data platform. So basically, we're more flexible in the types of data we send. I mean, that down to the really technical details, like what sort of unique identifiers you're using, whether that's Shopify customer ID or something else. And connecting with Segment about a year and a half ago allowed us to really open up the possibilities. So like I mentioned a little earlier, you know, sometimes that just means other reporting tools, but it also means that stores are now sending from Shopify to Segment using Little Data's Shopify source. And then from there, using Segment's additional features too, so stuff like their personas feature, to create like lookalike audiences automatically and Facebook ads from their top spending customers. So it's that kind of thing that we enabled. And our idea was that we just become a data platform that anybody can use in any way they want. And so now kind of where we've evolved to is that we're able to see what merchants are doing and then help build out features to support them doing that even more. So, you know, it's really like a loop, and it's super exciting.
What's interesting too is that I know that you've also added Little Data Plus, and I think it's all part of going up market a bit. And from what I understand, I guess you get a success team and kind of managed onboarding and a lot of extra kind of perks and SLAs for these larger brands that are venture backed that really need to guarantee their service level uptime and these sort of things. Is there anything else that's interesting about the Little Data Plus part of Little Data?
Yeah, a lot of it, like you mentioned, is that just being a managed account means you're getting a lot more support during onboarding. And then when you change the site, which inevitably happens, more support then. I would say two cases where we've seen it, one that we predicted, one that we didn't. Number one, for just multi-currency or multiple country stores. So many brands that have been successful and are dedicated to data-driven growth realize that it would be absurd not to launch in other countries and to extend their community to these other places. We're able to offer that. I mean, you know, it's just one way that we tier the plans is that on Little Data Plus, you can have unlimited country stores and send everything then. There's different ways to do it. But like one thing people do is send from all of your country stores into one GA instance. So in Google Analytics, you can then see like these are the campaigns or even the types of products that are performing better comparatively in different countries. Yeah. And the other thing is headless setups. And that's one that we didn't necessarily predict how popular it would be, but obviously increasingly popular. And I think the tech has just evolved. And like we work really closely with Nacelle and increasingly seeing builds using Shogun and other tools.
Yeah, the Shogun front end. What's interesting too, Shopify is right in the midst of, I think there's some early access right now happening with some brands with a full rollout probably in Q1 of next year, but they're talking about Shopify Markets. And I'm sure that your team has been thinking about this and are working with Shopify, because it's interesting where brands do want to expand internationally, but once again, it comes down to the data problem again. And Shopify Markets, I'll put a link in the show notes for it, but it's interesting. It talks about all the things you just mentioned. It talks about the currency challenges and how all that works. There's the language component, which is maybe not necessarily in your forte, but how do we manage languages, domains? You know, are we doing top level domains like country domains? Are we doing folders? There's so many different options that Shopify is going to have, duty collection, and I think payment methods and options and things. And so it's quite interesting that this is the way Shopify is headed, that brands do want to expand internationally, but I think it's still going to have some data challenges. And I think hopefully that's where Little Data is going to fit that bill in
absolutely,
the very near future.
Absolutely. So. And yeah, and we were actually, it's funny, just talking about it this morning with the team. You know, we really are like, it's so on point. It just proves how Shopify really is tuned into merchant needs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people are making it work now, but it's still to some degree kind of hacked together, you know, we're betting big on Shopify Markets too. So that's the easiest thing to say, is that we're making sure that everything's going to work out of the box. The same way that Shopify is.
Love it. So let's talk about other data syncing solutions, because I think there's other, I call them notable peers and stuff like that. I mean, you can do a simple search, go to the App Store or go to Google. And, you know, I think there's other tools that say, hey, like, how do I make Google my source of truth? Or how do I sync Shopify to this, that, the next thing? Or people claiming a lot of different things. But I know for a fact that Little Data has been intentional to differentiate from others in the ecosystem. So I'm just curious to kind of how you've positioned the product.
Yeah, sure, sure. And now there are kind of even more perceived competitors, you could say, because there are ETL tools like Fivetran or Stitch. You know, they're really good at sending data from one place to another. But unless you have a really talented development team yourself in-house, or you're working with a highly paid agency, you're not going to be able to ensure the accuracy of that data. So in a way, you're kind of just copying like the table from Shopify and sending it somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, we're trying to make that kind of functionality available to anyone. And that's been our goal from the beginning. And again, to make sure we get it right from the ground up. Like, a lot of those tools are sending everything. For us, it's more like, what are the most important events? How are you capturing the orders, but also like, how are the orders named? So back to your question about multi-currency, we now have an option where you can switch between the order number or the order name. So sometimes people with multiple country stores would be using the like country code in the order name. So just one small example, but it's
but important. Yeah,
we differentiate by paying close attention to the details. I would say that's the main thing. We love GA, you know, we love Segment and the tools it can connect to. And we're really all about simplifying your tech stack. That it's more important to have a few things that work really well than like a lot of add-ons.
Are there any other analytics tools out there? I mean, GA seems to be, because it's free, part of Google, and you know, it's a large property, so everyone kind of typically has that. Are there any other applications? Because I do see them occasionally in Shopify's admin where people have said, no, we're going to have another tool in there. Maybe Segment is a separate situation, but anything else that's on your radar recently?
Yeah, I would say, well, especially Tableau, I think it's become more and more powerful. And we are definitely seeing our bigger merchants using, whether they're using GA or Segment, they're using Tableau on top of that. And they're able to build really beautiful visualizations, of course, but also create dashboards that can be used by investors and finance people and not just the marketing team. And I know that's often a question we get, because ultimately, especially as there are a lot of scale-up brands that are starting to be successful, it's important that different teams can use the same tool to build their dashboards.
I'm going to be interviewing Heap very soon. They've been on our radar quite a bit at heap.io. Is there any comments on what they're offering as a replacement potentially for Google Analytics?
Yeah, I mean, I think Heap is great. It's a very different philosophy where they're trying to capture everything. And yeah, I would just say that it's like anything. It's a big tool to implement. You have to make sure that you have the right team to support it.
So it's dead heavy as far as that to kind of get it rolling from a tech side.
Yeah. The other thing is that part of why we've bet so big on Google is that they have an amazing product team. Obviously, you know, it's immense and it's around the world. And some of the new tools that they've launched within GA, like starting with the attribution feature, have actually worked really well and have become a good replacement for some of the sort of more expensive attribution tools others clients were using. And now Google Analytics 4, which is the next version, it's kind of been slow time coming, but we're set. We kind of have a beta integration with them, and we're expecting that the functionality there is going to be actually like leagues ahead of anything else available on the market.
All right, cool. So let's chat a little bit about Q4. I mean, we're in that right now. Holiday season definitely is around the corner. I just would love it if you could share with our audience today, like, what are you recommending today that Shopify brands do right now in order to prepare? There's this inevitable rush that's happening. Pandemic is still on the go. Delta variant, lots of craziness. People are definitely shopping early and buying online. And we know it's going to be a massive, massive BFCM. But we also know share of wallet is only so big. So just curious and kind of how you think this season is going to reveal itself and anything you recommend brands do?
Yeah, good question. I mean, you know, of course, my first recommendation is always like set up your tracking now.
Yes, of course.
And that's not just for scalability, but because it's really hard to go back and fix historic data, let alone add things that you weren't tracking. So like, you know, if you're using Recharge to sell by subscription, make sure that you have the tracking set up now. That's why we have the integration. Or if you're thinking of launching a new checkout flow, like start early and experiment and make sure things are working. If you're going to add a quiz to your site, do it now. All things along those lines. But then the other thing I'd say is that in the past, we've seen with BFCM, especially, that like it actually contributes more to revenue like another 6 months down the line. You know, people might not necessarily purchase then, but they are looking around, they're just shopping heavily. So make sure that your retargeting is set up and that, you know, whatever you're using for that, there's lots of different tools. Make sure that you're not only focused on like the short-term revenue growth, but the long-term.
One thing's interesting too, talking about the subscription side, I know as of late, there's been certainly a migration that's been happening with, I guess I'm going to call it more of a legacy kind of a checkout flow for these subscription brands where the checkout is happening on a subdomain. And there are a few challenges, some attribution challenges, and certainly those that are on Shopify Plus, you're unable to use Shopify scripts, which is an important part of the Plus value prop of like line item scripts and payment scripts and shipping scripts and things like that. It really does build a great customer experience. The challenge is people using, I'm going to call it version one, kind of legacy checkout, that doesn't work. And so in the last, I don't know, year or so, 6 months for sure, it's been on top of mind for a lot of people that let's migrate over to the new version. Let's call it version two. Let's call it the integrated checkout, meaning it's on the same domain now. Then you get access to Shopify scripts and some other perks and benefits. I know Recharge is definitely on it right now. Bold Commerce is working on it and has that out in the wild. I think Order Groove never really had a legacy checkout. They were always integrated, but I'm just curious how a little data integrates with these subscriptions, either V1 or the new V2 that's out now.
Sure, great question. In short, we've maintained our legacy integrations because, as you said, some stores are still there and those we want to keep supporting those merchants. But most of our development energy and a lot of our support has gone into subscriptions in the checkout. So we do have some merchants on Order Groove now, and we're working closely with a new player called Smartr, S-M-A-R-T-R-R. And then on Bold, we have some sort of a handful of legacy merchants, and then their people are sort of waiting to see what happens. And with Recharge, we do both. But like essentially the integration on our side is the same. What's really nice about it is that if you're using one of the new embedded subscription apps or subscriptions in the checkout, as we call it, it just works automatically with our main Shopify integration. So like we're still able to differentiate if it's a recurring order or a first time order, but you don't need any additional setup.
I think there's another brand doing the subscription thing too, Upscribe. Dalipin Silva, I think, is the founder over there.
Yeah, he's great.
So that's another kind of option. So there's lots of subscription connectors to Shopify, integrated checkout, and then getting access to scripts, I think is great. So I'm glad that you're kind of maintaining the V1 because I know there's going to be some headless merchants using our storefront API. And, you know, there is no need to migrate over because their headless is all happening in the background anyways on domain. So there's no need to upgrade to a version 2 integrated because it kind of already is being headless.
Yeah, totally. We are actually supporting a few merchants there already. I think they're actually both of the bigger headless builds using the API are sending to Segment and then again on to a bunch of other destinations. But it takes a big team to support that.
That's the thing. And I learned that a lot recently that it's tech heavy. I have a couple headless brands post launch. They're like, wow, okay, I had no idea about refactoring the website and why there's a delay between refactoring it and then or updating two CMSs in real time. It doesn't actually update in real time. And So there's some interesting things going on that you need to be really conscious of, you know, they even say recently that, you know, it's for the less than 1%. So 99%, and even some of the biggest, baddest brands on Shopify are not headless. And so you say, oh, I need to go headless because I need my store faster. Okay, well, let's look at the biggest, baddest brands on Shopify and why they're not headless and why they're doing so well. So I think it's either or, but those listening today, if you're considering to go headless, I think I would ask the question why, and like, what's wrong with the current CMS? And, you know, even now currently with like online store 2.0 and that whole new framework now, speed really is not an issue if you're going to migrate your theme over. Now with Dawn as the default install and just sections everywhere now, I don't think that's a big challenge anymore for speed.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you kind of have to take a like bird's eye view and take it case by case. We've had a few brands that we worked with on Nacelle, some of sort of, I think they were Nacelle's first clients, like Ballsy, who it was a good fit for, partly because of the way that their checkout flow was, like just a small number of SKUs. They were already planning on a full redesign anyway. But if you're not, then it can become more of a burden than a... than a plus.
Yeah, I have two brands that I can think of right now. Pretty Litter at prettylitter.com. They're running headless, and Iconic, I-K-O-N-I-C-K, iconic.com, motivational art company doing their thing. But, you know, once again, it's not for everyone, but certainly the opportunity is there through Shopify. And it's nice to see that you have this connection available to take care of the subscription people either or. So let's talk a little bit about the and call it the elephant in the room right now, but iOS 15 has rolled out. If, you know, those that are Apple users know that there's been a lot of notifications on your phone to saying, you know, do you authorize this? Because the default is not that you're opted in. The default is you want to opt in. You're defaulted to opt out of everything. And, you know, I'm talking to some of these email service providers. I think I talked to Ritus recently from Omnisend, and, you know, I'm talking about opens are dead, and, you know, you can't attribute things for open rates and emails being opened. There's lots of challenges going on right now with iOS 15. So maybe set the stage first about there's first party data, which I believe is kind of inside Shopify. That's your owned data. And then there's also this thing called zero party data that's been floating around a lot. So maybe let's talk about first party and zero party. And then let's talk about how important it is today and how little data might be able to help this kind of situation.
Yeah, sure. So I'd say we've been focused on sort of what you can do with anonymous data and first party data since the beginning. You know, we've never wanted to be invasive. We've always wanted to also maintain sort of Google's philosophy in Google Analytics that you don't need to know everything about a person. You know, you need to understand the trends and sort of where you're actually seeing a higher LTV by channel, that sort of thing. And with first party data, we realized when we first started working in the Shopify world that there's actually this like treasure trove of data in the apps that people were already using, like Recharge and Cardhook, just to take the most common like stack for us, and Shopify, of course. And then the problem is just that data is siloed. And so we are in a good position now because we focused on stitching that all together automatically and tying it to the Shopify customer ID. We're in a good position to sort of help stores negotiate these changes, like the iOS changes and like so many changes that are either already happened or been announced with the way that browsers will be handling cookies, and to make sure that you can track what you need to in the browser. But then once someone becomes a customer, you can actually just pull that data together and essentially own it and, you know, do what you want with it. And for us as a data pipeline, we don't actually hold the data. And in fact, we actually help stores comply. So we integrate with apps like TrustArc and OneTrust and other cookie banners that they might be using to make sure that someone has opted in, not, or as you said, the default is not opting in.
Yes. I know. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So let's pivot to a story, because I think even for me selfishly, it just is so motivational. Like, I'm an entrepreneurial person at my core. I think it's in my DNA. I love marketers. I deal with them all day long. I really enjoy being a trusted advisor. But I also think it's this education and the inspiration that comes from other people's stories. Number one, I get to use them on my monthly calls with the brands I manage, but just overall, those listening today, like, hey, wow, that resonates with me. And maybe I can see value, and maybe a little data could also work for me and my brand. Because everyone thinks that theirs is unique, and maybe not every piece of tech is for everybody. I'm hoping that you can, hopefully I don't put you on the spot here, but if you can maybe share a brand that, you know, has implemented a little data recently, Shopify brand, and then kind of like, what's their journey been like by connecting to little data?
Yeah, good question. I mean, a lot of people come to mind. I think we recently highlighted on the blog we've been doing, we call it Lunch with Little Data, Unfortunately, it hasn't been real lunch because of the pandemic, but we've been continuing it.
Uber Eats it is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we talked to Grind Coffee in the UK, and I think that's an especially interesting story because a big part of what happened for them during the pandemic is they had already built a really successful brick and mortar business throughout London. Like anyone who's been in London has usually, especially Americans, have probably tasted the coffee because they go out looking for good filter coffee or kind of like what's the best espresso cafe that might also serve alcoholic drinks, which is something else Grind pivoted to early on. And then they were hit so hard by the pandemic. I mean, the UK had a hard time in general, and especially London. And so they decided that they already did have a Shopify store that was starting to use Recharge to experiment with like subscription coffee products. They weren't quite sure what it would be yet, but they decided that that was the time. The events around the pandemic meant that they should just shift as much online as possible. And they were already doing their own roasting and, you know, they kind of owned the supply chain, but they didn't know what to do and how to find those customers. And they didn't even really have an email list, you know, because everything was just happening in person. So, you know, long way of saying that essentially they shifted really fast. And Teddy, who's the really brilliant CMO and creative director, started pulling in people from his team, from the actual brick and mortar stores, to start learning a lot about email marketing and how to build a list. You know, how to use social media, especially like Instagram for them, to build up the channels and then start to build up that audience. And luckily for them, I wouldn't put words in his mouth, but he actually told us that being able to use little data to connect Recharge to Google Analytics and Shopify to Google Analytics during that transition was just transformational because they weren't looking for really granular data yet. Now they have it with us and they can do that. But what they needed was just an understanding of, as they started to build up those lists on social, what were the subscribers doing? What were the kinds of products that were interesting to them? And what would they subscribe to?
Mm, very interesting.
Yeah, and so that's how it went. They scaled really fast. They've essentially scaled, I think, 50x during the... so wow. Really insane numbers during the pandemic, mostly through selling these sustainable Nespresso pots.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah, they actually have like their own branded machine. I guess they have a special one that they've had created for them by Nespresso, I guess, or they're licensing the kind of technology and stuff. So it's pretty neat kind of what they're doing. And it's great to hear that they're able to connect and make this kind of pivot. Very unfortunate retail challenges that happened or is happening. And now people going online, because I guess there was two different types of entrepreneurs that happened during the pandemic, but those that kind of like wait and see, like kind of stick your head in the sand, and the other ones were the resilient ones that kind of said, no, we got to figure this out, we need to pause for a second and figure out what our next move is. And it's great to see that they found little data and made that pivot, and here they are successful
now. And I think what's so fascinating to me about their story is that they weren't only focused on paid channels. You know, like a lot of successful Shopify brands, you know, run by real innovators, like you're saying, they understand the value of community and the importance of just, you know, getting to know Klaviyo really well is usually what that means. And building out customized flows and also just making it easy for their own customers to share what they like about the product.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the future of Little Data. I think it's important to say, hey, you know what, for the last couple of years, you've definitely have improved the product. I always have recommended it. You know, I follow the blog. I think I syndicate a lot of your content. So I'm definitely sharing widely about the value prop of Little Data. But, you know, I'm sure there's a, maybe not a public roadmap, but there certainly is a roadmap and a North Star, I guess, for 22 and beyond. Able to maybe share a little bit about the technology and kind of how you're going to continue to help brands just kind of impact these most important KPIs or feel confident in their analytics?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, that kind of North Star for us, what we're always trying to do is make sure that we're staying ahead of the curve in terms of how a brand is tracking that marketing data, customer data, and sales data and stitching it all together. So for us, moving towards being an e-commerce data platform, we're really focused on adding additional data destinations and making sure that the data can be used in destinations we might not even know about yet. So we're doing a lot of user research on like, what are the other sort of ads channels that people are using, that kind of thing, and building out integrations. But the main thing for us, the big one coming up, is integrating with Facebook CAPI, or the Conversions API. And again, it relates back to a lot of the changes going around related to privacy. But we want to make sure that merchants can actually, you know, not just make sure that Shopify data matches GA, but also that Shopify data matches what you see in Facebook.
Very cool. You know what else is coming up down the pike too that I'm sure is on your radar is the Hulu app that's coming out to allow for streaming television advertisements to start happening. It goes through these smart TVs, and it's so interesting that, you know, brands can literally shoot at the hip, create a video and get up onto television with like the massive reach. I mean, there's Tatari out there, and Tatari is a large platform that helps D2C brands get on kind of traditional television. I'm going to call it linear TV. But they also have a platform to help people get into these smart set-top boxes. I think call them OTT, over the air or over the top, they call it. But these smart televisions, and, you know, it's so interesting. But now I see a dedicated app that's going to be released like literally weeks from now. And you can use the Hulu product and you can actually choose which network you want to advertise on. It's just a wild west and craziness going on right now. So exciting.
Absolutely. Yeah, things are changing so fast. And it's all about being, the earlier a merchant can get onto a platform like that, the better.
Absolutely. So we are nearing the end of the show for today, and you've shared a lot of knowledge. I'm really hoping that people have a look at Little Data and learn more. I mean, this is kind of the intro to kind of what you're all about, but are there any insights or any takeaways that you would like to leave our listeners today?
Sure. Yeah. If you've noticed data discrepancies, you're not alone. That's the message that we like to lead with and also sometimes end with. It's possible to make Shopify data match GA and even to make Shopify match Facebook and your other channels. It just takes an automated tool to do it. And you know, whether or not you're selling by subscription, for us, the North Star metric is always LTV by channel. So like what channels are actually bringing you the best value over time. And the final thing I'd say is just get your tracking right now. Don't wait. Don't wait.
Absolutely. So how can people learn more about Little Data? Where can they go to learn more details about the product?
Yeah, definitely. Either our website, so just littledata.io. We like to say to remember it, just think not big data, little data.
Okay.
Or the Shopify App Store. There's separate listings for the Google Analytics and Segment connections. And the other place, if you are a larger merchant or someone thinking about using Segment, definitely check out our documentation on the Segment site because there's a lot of good info there.
I'll make sure I put all these links in the show notes for those that are listening today so they know exactly where to go. And I know we spoke in the green room before recording and understand that you would like to share actually a few offers today for those listening.
Yeah. So we've extended the 30-day free trial for everyone now. So listeners, definitely click through on the link and you can, no matter what size brand you are, that's another change. You know, you can go ahead and get a 30-day free trial, make sure it's right for you and start gathering that accurate data. And then the other thing is we'd like to offer a free analytics audit with one of our experts for anyone on Shopify Plus. So go ahead and click through and I look forward to chatting.
And so as far as the audit's concerned, what sort of things do you believe that they may find? It's just like the accuracy between all their channels in Shopify. I guess there's like a checklist of things that they need to kind of look at and then I guess share some kind of a PDF back to the brand and saying, hey, here's what we found.
Yeah, exactly. So overall, we're looking for the accuracy of the data. But then if something seems off, or even if the merchant has noticed it's off before, then we'll dive in and figure out, you know, exactly what is going on. Because it could be that the tracking was actually set up correctly, but twice. And so you're getting double page views. You know, it could be that one of the steps of the checkout funnel is missing. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong.
That's so common. You give me nightmares thinking about the double entries. Because that happens
a lot. Appropriate for Halloween here.
Oh, man. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/little data. That'll go to the landing page so you can get that offer, the 30-day free trial. So, you know, for those that are concerned that maybe if you're on Shopify core plans and if you're concerned that maybe your data is not accurate or you're a subscription company and you want it to be more accurate, you're looking for GA to be the source of truth, I think I highly, highly, highly recommend, like I said at the top of the show, there's literally three brands of the handful that I manage that are listed on your homepage. I highly recommend it. I don't want to rave too much about it. It really is a great product and it does solve a need of feeling and knowing that your GA is accurate. And so I think that's super important. Now with all this Facebook connection you're talking about with the conversion API, it's a no-brainer. And so I just thank you so much for offering that. And the Plus brands too, for sure. Get that free audit. Once again, it'll go to the landing page and you can learn more about how to do that. But once again, wanted to thank you, number one, for coming on the show. Thanks for celebrating this episode number 200. It's like such a milestone. I really appreciate you coming on and just kind of sharing your knowledge and your vision and just appreciate you just giving back to the Shopify ecosystem.
Oh, great. It's been good to be here. Yeah. And you know, our merchants love the show and so do we. So keep
Thank
it up.
All right. I sure will. Here's to another 200.
Absolutely.
All right. Have yourself a great day.
You too. Cheers.
Now, this episode was brought to you by Attentive, a personalized text message solution trusted by innovative brands like CB2, Coach, and thousands of Shopify brands. Now, as I mentioned, on average, Attentive customers see a 25x ROI and over 18% of their online revenue is driven by SMS. Now, are you ready for SMS to become one of your top revenue channels? You can learn more how to get started and get your free trial by requesting a demo at attentivemobile.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of eCommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.